We'll be going to Jeremiah chapter 4. My prayer is today that the Word of God would touch your heart in some way, form or fashion, whatever the Lord would have for you to understand from what we're going to go over today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we do thank You for this day. And Lord, we thank You for the many things that You do for us each and every day. Lord, a lot of them we just take for granted. But Lord, we do ask that, Lord, that You would burden our hearts, that we would realize that all things come from You. And Lord, that all the good comes from You. And Lord, that You're willing and wanting to bless us, and that You are a loving God, and we thank You for it. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus, that died on the cross for our sins. And Lord, we do ask that, Lord, if there's one today that is hearing this message, that, Lord, they would realize their need for You. And Lord, we'd ask that if believers that are hearing this message, that the Word would not fall on deaf ears, that, Lord, they would see the need that they need to change their life, and Lord, to ask You for Your divine guidance in their life, and we thank You for it. I ask You to be with us now as we study Your Word, in Jesus' name, and amen. Okay, chapter 4 of Jeremiah, chapter 4 of the book of Jeremiah. Just to give you a background real quick, the Israel had totally went into worshiping idols and false idols, and so they we know that Israel, the northern kingdom, had been captive and taken into captive, and now that Judah was doing the same, and God sent Jeremiah the prophet and to preach to them and to show them what they were doing wrong in their lives, and also he wanted to bring forth what was about to happen to them, the judgment. And what we see in verse 22, he says, "For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have known understanding. They are not wise." I mean, they are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. Judgment was about to come to Judah, the southern kingdom. Why? Why was this judgment coming? God explained to Jeremiah why judgment was about to come. He said the people were foolish in verse 22. They didn't know God. The people were basically, when you look this word up, it's foolish or thick-headed, hard-headed, really stupid. Is what the word sottish meant, and they lacked understanding. And so God was going to bring judgment on them, as also He had brought on the northern kingdom. And if the people had been as skillful at holy living like they were in sinning, God would have spared them the judgment that was coming and blessed them instead of the judgment. But they weren't. You know, that reminds us of today's people. Today we are skillful in our jobs, and we are skillful at doing everything except for serving the Lord the way we ought to be doing. If we put forth the effort for living holy, for living a separated life as we do living the worldly life, and as we do, you know, as we are concerned with our jobs, man, it would be amazing what we could get done for the Lord and for His work. But you know, God did not spare Judah, as we read, we find out that this judgment did come along to them. You know, the judgment that was coming, it did come. And if he said, if they had have turned, if they had have put forth that effort to live a holy life like he wanted them to, then they would have been blessed instead of the judgment. Now, chapter 5 of Jeremiah tells us of four sins that they were being judged for. Number one, they were an ungodly people. They had gotten so far from God that God was just tired of it. And God tells Jeremiah to search Jerusalem for one righteous person. That's all he said. He said, for one righteous person. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. He says, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places. Therefore, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. That's a sad day, is when the Lord told Jeremiah, he said, you go look. He said, you look in the city of Jerusalem. You see if you can find one righteous person, just one, and I will pardon the judgment that's about to come. All he asked for, he didn't ask for much. He just asked for one righteous person. And, he couldn't be found. Now, this sounds like what took place in Genesis. Chapter 18, go over to Genesis if you would, chapter 18. This sounds like what took place with Abraham and with the Sodom and Gomorrah. In chapter 18, verse 22, it says, and the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, and Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked? That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. Verse 29, and he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for the 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Now, we see there in Genesis, when it was talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham basically kind of, I don't know what you want to call it, argued with the Lord, bargained with the Lord, really. He said he started out with 50, went down to 45, it went down to 40, went down to 30 righteous, 20 righteous. And finally he said, look, he said, Lord, will you destroy it if there's 10 righteous? And the Lord said, no. If there's 10 righteous there, I will preserve Sodom. But, hey, they couldn't find 10 righteous. And the same problem with Jeremiah here with Judah. The Lord said, you go find me one righteous person, and I'll spare the judgment that's coming. He couldn't find one righteous person. So see, one of their sins that was going on was they were ungodly. Two, they were ungrateful. Chapter 5, verses 7 through 9 tell us about this. They were ungrateful. Listen, God provided their every need. Does God not provide our every need? Are we not an ungodly nation when you think about that? When you think about what's running our country, when you think about the things that we allow to happen in our country, the things, to be honest with you, that we allow to happen in our living rooms, are we not an ungodly country? By the way, I'm probably not speaking to many unbelievers today. I'm speaking to believers, and trust me, this is who it's going to. It's going out to the to believers in this world that they're no different. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But listen, we should not live ungodly lives. We should not live ungrateful lives. God provides everything in our lives. Everything in our lives. God was providing the Israelites with rain, with great harvest. The southern kingdom, Judah, He was providing them everything that they needed. And yet they were not listening to God. And instead, they were acting like the world. They were not acting as children of God. Listen, they were not acting as children of God that were made in His image. They were acting as the world was. They were no different than the heathen or animals, as God referred to. Look over here at verse 8. It says, they were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. You know, you go out. I used to dry lot all of my horses. I would keep them in a dry lot because I wanted them to depend on me. I wanted them to realize that, hey, the food, the water, it came from me. And they needed to depend on me. But what took place is we would take them sometimes and turn them out to pasture. And they would have a creek, and they would have grass. And then they got to where you'd walk out in the pasture, they just ignored you. They just go on about your way. Even though I was providing that for them, they didn't see that. And that's what we do in this lifetime of ours. We go through life and we think, well, it's my hard work that's doing it, or it's the world offering it to me, and oh, what a great place we live, what a great nation we live that flourishes like it does. And we forget that it's God that has provided these things. That it's God that has made this nation so great. It's God that has made our medical industry so wise and smart and able to help people along in their life. We forget all about the fact, excuse me, that it's God that is providing all of this. We get to where we're ungrateful. It even shows up in our, I hesitate to say this, but it shows up in our dress that we are ungrateful people. You know, back in the 40s and 50s, I was reading about when people would go out and fly. Flying was relatively new, and you could see pictures of people in suit and ties and dresses, and they were very modestly and decently dressed to get on board a plane, because listen, it was a privilege to get on there and fly somewhere. They were grateful for being able to do that. We've gotten to the point that we are more like the world. We have fashioned ourselves more toward the world than we have the image of God, and it shows up in our dress when we come to church. There's people come to church dressed in clothes I wouldn't go out in the backyard and scoop up dog mess at 2 a.m. wearing. Seriously, people go to church just any old way, but you'll catch them on a Friday night or on some special night with their spouse, going out and they dress to the hilt and they make sure everything is good and their hair is good, and they all harp on this. Well, God says, "Come as you are." Listen, that "come as you are" was really talking about the inside of us. It was talking about come as you are. You're a sinner. You're lost. You're dying, and you're going to hell. And when you leave, you don't leave as you were. You leave a changed person. A person that knows God and knows what God would like out of you, and has provided you the eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But we've taken that step to the point as well. We just come as sloppy as we can, and that is ridiculous. But listen, you may say to me, "Well, Brother Jim, God doesn't look on the outside. He looks on the inside." This is true, but who does look on the outside? Think about that. Who sees the outside of the Christian? Who sees the outside of the person that goes to church and claims to be this believer and this disciple of Jesus? That's right. You're thinking right. The people out here that are lost, that are blind to what we have by Satan in this world. And what they see is that we are no different than they are, so why would they have anything to do with it? I mean, good grief. You're going to tell them, "Well, you'd be just like me, but you're going to come in here and you're going to give your money, and you're going to take your Sundays and your Sunday nights, and you want me to give it all to God, but you're no different than I am." Listen, that shouldn't be. We've gotten to the point that we are very ungrateful for what God has done. First Peter chapter 1, verse 13 tells us, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, 'Be ye holy, for I am holy.'" Listen, we shouldn't act as the world does. We're not of this world. If you're saved, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, then guess what? You're a citizen of heaven. Therefore, we should act as citizens of heaven. We should not be acting as the rest of the world does. Number three, they were unfaithful. They were unfaithful to the Lord. They didn't believe God's word. They did their own thing, so to speak. Judges, in the book of Judges, chapter 21, verse 25, it says, "Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Listen, that's what we're running around doing. We're ignoring God's word. We're not paying attention to God's word. All we're doing is we're running around doing what's right in our own eyes. Oh, they say, this is the favorite thing for people to say, is they say, "Well, you know, you don't interpret the Scripture the same way I do." Listen, I just read the Scripture. I tell people what the Lord, what the Word of God says, and there is no other interpretation than what it plainly states. We're to be separate, we're to be holy, we're to serve an almighty God, and we're to be faithful to that God. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Listen, if I depend on what I think is right, if I depend on what I feel is the best way to go, then I've got a problem. and I'm going the wrong way about the problem. Because the truth of the matter is, I'm supposed to be searching for what God wants me to do, not for what Jim wants to do, not for what Jim thinks is the right way. I'm supposed to be searching the Scriptures and asking the Lord to open my eyes up to the way He would have me do things. Because what I feel sometimes right, people wouldn't like. Chapter 3 of Proverbs, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Listen, He will direct our paths and show us the right way that we should be going, and He'll light it up for us as well. In Psalm 119, we're not walking around in darkness. We're walking around with the light of the Lord if we'll allow it. Verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It's a light unto the path. The Word of God is a light for us. It shows us what we ought to be doing, what we should not be doing. And what will happen is we read the Word of God and we'll say, "Well, I don't like that." So we turn to a page and find something that we do like. But really and truly, as the book of James tells us, we should be looking into the Word of God as a mirror and don't just gaze at it for a moment. You need to stand there and look into it and diligently search and see what the Lord wants us to do. And don't get mad about it. It's what God wants. And that's what we ought to be doing, is searching out what God would have for us to do, how God would have for us to act, how He would have for us to be. Our walk in life, it should be holy and separate from the world. Yeah, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. Number 4, Jeremiah 5, verses 20-31, it says, "They were unconcerned." They were unconcerned. Instead of provoking one another to love and to fear God, they became more and more corrupt. And the sad part is that they enjoyed it. Look at chapter 5 and verse 31. Well, we'll just read verses... Yeah, we'll read verse 31 here. It says, "The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof?" Listen, they were enjoying the way it is. They were liking what was going on, and that's wrong. What's wrong with our world today is we're liking too much of what's going on. When people in a nation become that corrupt, there isn't much hope, if any. This nation, this people needs to turn back to God before it's too late. We need to put God back where He belongs. God should be the most important part of your everything. And that is the Word of God. I hope that you've enjoyed the message today, and I hope that it will penetrate hearts and minds, that people will change their attitudes, they will change their character, and they will love God and serve Him the way that He would have them. Have a blessed day.